Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in at 7 p.m., 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And I just want to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
and consider When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be here.
You're listening to
let me be a woman who strives to do your will here on earth. And as I do, let me find contentment and balance. Let me live in the light of your will and your priorities for my life. And when I have done my best, Lord, please give me the wisdom to place my faith and my trust in you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
So let's live forever. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day. or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The way you finally lose, the right to finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. But for world peace to spell, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking in the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer requests, for my God is truly able.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Save Your Best Striving for Seeking My Face. Praise God. My scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. And it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Save Your Best Striving for Seeking My Face. I am constantly communicating with you. To find me and hear my voice, you must seek me above all else. Thing that you desire more than me becomes an idol. When you are determined to get your own way, you blot me out of your consciousness. Instead of single-mindedly pursuing some goal, talk with me about it. Let the light of my presence shine on this pursuit, so that you can see it from my perspective. If the goal fits into my plans for you, I will help you reach it. If it is contrary to my will for you, I will gradually change the desire of your heart. Seek me first and foremost, then the rest of your life will fall into place, piece by piece. Praise be to God. I hope this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was on to me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when we are troubled, you heal us. When we are afraid, you protect us. When we are discouraged, you lift us up. You are our unending source of strength, Lord. Let us turn to you when we are weak in times of adversity. Let us trust your plan and your will for our life and whatever our circumstances. Lord, let us always give the thanks and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to join us at 7 p.m. Our call-in number is 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Without.
Come on, tell us, believe.
receive new peace. Receive new joy. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We cry out to you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord. Come on, let's pick it up. Y'all pick it up.
In Proverbs 15:15 in the CSB says, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. On some days, as every woman knows, it's hard to be cheerful. Sometimes, as the demands of the world increase and our energy sags, we feel less like cheering up and more like tearing up. But even in our darkest hour, we can turn to God and he will comfort us. Few things in life are more sad, or for that matter, more absurd than a grumpy Christian. Christ promises us lives of abundance and joy, but he does not force his joy upon us. We must claim his joy for ourselves. And when we do, Jesus, in turn, fills our spirit with his power and his love. How can we receive from Christ the joy that is rightfully ours? By giving him what is rightfully his, our hearts and our souls. When we earnestly commit ourselves to the Savior of mankind, and when we place Jesus at the center of our lives and trust him as our personal Savior, he will transform us, not just for today, but for all eternity. Then we, as God's children, can share Christ's joy and his message with a world that needs both. Amen. We may run, walk, stumble, drive, or fly, but let us never lose sight of the reason for the journey, or miss a chance to see a rainbow on the way. When we bring sunshine into the lives of others, we are warmed by it ourselves. When we spill a little happiness, it splashes on us. Cheerfulness is its own reward, but not its only reward. God is good, and heaven is forever. And if those two facts don't cheer you up, nothing will. Be assured, my dear friend, that it is no joy to God in seeing you with a dreary countenance. I became aware of one very important concept I had missed before. My attitude, not my circumstances, was what was making me unhappy. Think about that. Here's a thought. Cheerfulness is its own reward, but not its only reward. In 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 7 in the CSB says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Genesis 33 and 10 in the New Living Translation says, Jacob said, for what a relief it is to see your friendly smile. It is like seeing the smile of God. Amen. Philippians 2, 14 through 15 in the CSB. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure. If anyone among you in James 5 and 13 in the CSB, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have given us so many reasons to celebrate. Today, let us choose an attitude of cheerfulness. Let us be a joyful Christian. Lord, quick to smile and slow to anger. And let us share your goodness with all whom we meet so that your love might shine in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise God. So I hope you enjoy this selection by Israel and the New Breed, Jesus at the Center of It All. Amen.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus. Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
much mercy. You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary. But I just want to thank you. I got to thank you.
I thank you.
Yes, I do. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful.
Very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm in a lot of pain today, so I'm just hanging in there.
I know you had a doctor's appointment.
Yes. He just told me to, for the soreness and everything, just rub the Aspirin or the Valtrim. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I just have to rub myself down tonight. Hopefully, by the end of the week, everything should be back to normal.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, anyone else on the line so far?
Not yet. First Lady didn't come yet.
Okay, I'm gonna open in prayer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, precious Lord, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you.
Thank you,
Lord God. We thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, and giving us a mission to accomplish, and allowing us to accomplish it. So God, we thank you for this day that we've never seen before. We thank you for doing everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you're doing right now, Father God. I ask that you bless this hour of study, basic theology, that it will be enlightening and informative, and that we will just have a enjoyable time as we go through this. I ask that you bless Evangelist Hilda right now in any capacity that she needs to be blessed or healed or touched or just comforted right now, Father God. So I thank you for that. I ask that you bless and keep Lady Nadine as she goes about trying to get in the line. And I ask that you bless anybody that's ever thought about coming on this line. Evangelist Cope and Brother Jacob and the other person that was listening a couple of weeks ago. And I thank you for that, God. You didn't have to do it, but you're so gracious, so wonderful, so awesome. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now with the pandemic that is on the downsurge. And I thank you for what you're doing in Ukraine. We know that it's still war, but we know that you are in charge and that there will be a breaking of the day. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I pray for victory for Ukraine as they stand their ground, trying to protect their land and not be overtaken by a tyrant. So, God, we thank you. Bless Russia, too. They're going through also. So, God, we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Just bless us and keep us, and we will be blessed and kept. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And thank you again for your faithfulness and your unconditional love and your favor, your grace and your mercy and compassion. All these blessings I thank you for in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God.
So we didn't have a class last week, so we're going to pick up where we left off. Page 219? Oh, we're going to start at 219. I think I read that already. Part 2, still talking about the meaning of the concept. So part 2 is, I wanted to talk about the, I think I talked about the immaterial already, right?
Yeah, we're at chapter 32.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You the last time you stopped at number 2, the facets of the immaterial aspect of man.
Okay, what page is that?
That's page 225.
Okay, I see it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right, so we're going to continue, and it's marked. I don't know why I had the bookmark at another chapter. But we're on page 225. Thank you. The facets of the immaterial aspect of man. Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Man is like a diamond with its many facets. Those facets are not separate entities, yet they reflect various aspects of the whole. They may serve similar or overlapping functions, yet they are distinguishable. They are not parts, they are aspects, facets, faces of the whole. So what is an aspect? I don't think you asked about that.
Oh, aspect?
A-S-P-E-C-T-S.
Yes, I know.
So they are overlapping functions, yet they are distinguishable like a diamond. So these are the aspects of man. So the characteristic, the sense, or the regard, and the slant of man. So part A is the soul.
Okay.
In its most basic sense, the Hebrew word nefesh, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, means life. It designates man, originally created as a living being, soul, Genesis 2 and 7, as well as other forms of life, Genesis 1, 20 through 21, 24 and 30, Leviticus 17 and 11. Notice also Exodus 21 and 23 and Joshua 2 and 13. This is the sense in which English would speak of an individual as a soul. So let's take a look at Genesis 2 and 7.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the message.
Okay.
Genesis 2:7.
7 says, ready?
Yes.
Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Amen.
And thank you. And then Genesis 1:20-21.
Says, then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offsprings of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen.
Amen. So can you see a difference between what he did to create Adam and what he did to create the birds and the fish and the swarming things in the earth?
Well, with Adam, he formed him out of the dust. And he was not a living breathing human being until God breathed the breath of life into him.
Amen.
And then with the animals and things, he just spoke them into existence.
Exactly. Exactly. He just called them into existence and they be.
Yes.
They became.
Amen.
So now we're getting to 24. What does that say?
23, 24. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animals, each producing offsprings of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. Amen.
All right. So how did life come about in that aspect with the animals and the reptiles?
He called them, and then they started reproducing the same species that they were, different kinds of animals, so they started reproducing the same thing. So that's how they started growing.
Mm-hmm. And in my Bible, it says earth generate life. So this is saying that it came from the earth. Every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds, they came from the earth. And he spoke it again.
Yes.
Into existence.
Yes.
Telling the earth what to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go to verse 1 and 30.
30 says, 9:30. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life, and that is what happened.
So how did that happen?
Plants and things for the animals to eat so that they could survive.
Right. So he gave them the seed-bearing plants.
Yes.
And every kind of fruit-bearing tree, he gave that to them.
Yes.
For food. And to the animals and everything that moves and breathes, he said, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food.
Amen.
And there it was.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now let's take a look at Leviticus 17:11.
OK.
17 and 11, Leviticus.
Leviticus 17 and 11. Okay. For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. Oh, okay, so.
Amen. So, mine says, I have provided the blood for you to make atonement for your lives on the altar. It is the blood, the life, that makes atonement. That's why Jesus had to shed his blood.
Yes.
To make atonement for our sins. That's why I tell the people of Israel, don't eat blood. The same goes for the foreigner who lives among you. Don't eat blood. Why? Why is that?
Because the blood is for purification, and we're not supposed to eat it because isn't it like a sacrifice?
Well, it just said that blood is life.
Okay.
Blood is life.
It's life.
So we're not to eat that. That's used to make atonement for our sins.
Right. So that's why the Jehovah Witnesses doesn't want to take blood transfusions.
Well, that's not eating it. I think they just believe that you don't transfer blood from one person to the other. Again, blood is life, so.
Right, so that.
I don't know. I don't know their theory behind it, but if they're feeling that blood is life, then they don't want to, you know, transfer between one. And then there's some sort of pathogens in blood. You know, sometimes it has disease in it.
True.
And it can be transferred to another person.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of things where they got a blood transfusion and because of that they contracted some, you know, disease or something. So
Yes.
Blood has life. So we're going to look at, that was Leviticus 21, 1 through 3, no. Now we're going to look at
Leviticus. You say Leviticus 17, 11.
That was 17 and 11.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's take a look at Exodus 21 and 23. Exodus 21 and 20. I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
21 and 23.
Usually I'm the one making the mistake. Okay, Exodus 21 and 23.
Yes.
Okay. Come on, unstick. Okay, but if there is further injury, the punishment must match the injury. A life for a life. I don't understand that one.
Okay, I'll read it from the message, and mine starts at 22 through 25.
Mm-hmm.
Says, when there's a fight, and in the fight a pregnant woman is hit so that she miscarries, but is not otherwise hurt, the one responsible has to pay whatever the husband demands in compensation. But if there is further damage, then you must give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. So this is saying that when someone, you know, causes a pregnant woman to lose the child and she's otherwise unharmed, the husband can demand compensation. But if there is more damage, then that's when they get into an eye for an eye, a life for a life. So if the woman, the pregnant woman, say, is killed, then the husband can demand that the one that caused her death be killed in turn.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we got away from that, you know?
Yes.
Because I think it's another scripture that says, if that kept going on, then we'd all be blind and toothless, you know?
Yes.
To keep doing that, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Yeah.
So we've gotten away from that kind of retributions, I'll say.
Thank
all right. God. And the last one in this paragraph is Joshua 2 and 13. Joshua 2 and 13.
Joshua 2 and 13, 12, 13. When Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. Okay, amen.
Okay. So when they have gone to war, it's saying, now promise me by God, I show you mercy. Now show my family mercy. And give me some tangible proof, a guarantee of life for my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, everyone connected with my family. Save our souls from death. So they've been conquered, but there's mercy as a promise.
Was that Rahab talking to Joshua?
I think this is Joshua talking to somebody. Let's see. Okay, that's the king sent word to Rahab, yeah, bring out
the spies.
Okay. No, I would have to read the whole section, but it seems like now me by God I showed you, yes, that would be her telling them that she shown them mercy when she allowed the spies to escape from harm.
Yes,
she's saying, let your family live, now allow mine, show mercy to my family.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, right. Very good. And then it's going on to the second paragraph on the A. Who did Joshua? This is the sense in which English would speak of an individual as a soul. That life principle departs at the time of physical death, Genesis 35 and 18, and Jeremiah 15 and 2. Yet the corpse is called soul. Leviticus 21, 1 through 3, Numbers 6, 6, and 9, 6. In the Old Testament, soul does not exist apart from the body, emphasizing again the unity of man's being. Rich and abundant, though this use of the noun nephesh, soul, for life is, we must not fail to observe that the end is never given the meaning of the indestructible core of being, in contradistinction to the physical life, and even capable of living when cut off from that life. So the soul is able to live even when the physical body is dead, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a look at Genesis 35 and 18.
Okay.
Okay, 35 and 13.
18.
Oh, 18.
Rachel was about to die, but with her last breath, she named the baby Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. So,
she
what's
died
happening here?
Yeah, she died giving birth to Benjamin.
Right, her second child.
Yes.
Who was her first child?
Isaac?
No.
No?
No.
Wait. Oh, God. Come on. What's his name? I know.
Who was Benjamin's brother?
Yes, that's what
and
I'm
he went to Egypt.
Joseph.
And the Technicolor dream coat.
The coat of many colors. Yes.
Say what?
Of many colors.
The coat of many colors and the Technicolor coat is another name they call it.
Oh, okay.
Both same thing, the coat of many colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's take a look. So that was Rachel. And
yes.
During childbirth, she didn't survive, and she died and was buried on the road to Ephrah, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar to mark her grave. It is still there today, Rachel's gravestone. So who was Rachel married to?
To Jacob. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And Jacob was related to, what was his brother's name?
Esau.
Right. His twin brother.
Yes. Because I
they
remember.
They didn't look alike. But
in the womb.
Exactly. They didn't look alike, but they were twins born at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 15 and 2.
Jeremiah
15 and 2.
Now I went too far. 12. You know when you're in a trying to find the baby.
And they stick. And they stick.
Yeah. 15 and 2 says. Where's two? Right here. And if they say to you, but where can we go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Those who are destined for death, to death. Those who are destined for war, to war. Those who are destined for famine, to famine. Those who are destined for captivity, to captivity. Amen.
Whoa. I like to read. Yeah. So what is that saying? I mean, what do you think about that?
Destination. You either destined to live or you destined to die.
Right, or to starve or to go off into exile. So if you already assigned those things, God in his sovereignty and his omniscience, he already has ordained that this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
So let me just read it starting from 1,
okay.
15 and 1. Then God said to me, Jeremiah, even if Moses had Samuel, stood here and made their case, I wouldn't feel a thing for this people. Get them out of here. Tell them to get lost. And if they ask you, so where do we go? tell them God says, if you're assigned to die, go and die. If assigned to war, go and get killed. If assigned to starve, go starve. If assigned to exile, off to exile you go. I've arranged for four kinds of punishment. Death in battle, corpses dropped off by killer dogs, the rest picked clean by vultures, the bones gnawed by hyenas. There'll be a sight to see, a sight to shock the whole world, and all because of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, and all he did in Jerusalem. Wow. So Manasseh, remember you talked about Manasseh?
Yeah,
the house of Manasseh.
He was the wicked king.
Yep, and he was the son of Hezekiah.
Yes.
So I was saying we had talked about Manasseh in the point that that was the name of the church at one time. You know that.
Yeah.
The house of Manasseh.
God, there was Manasseh, the tribe, and then there was Manasseh, the king, the wicked king.
I don't think they had a tribe named Manasseh.
The Manasseh kept, let's see, the goal of these would be destroyed by the living and the bones of the dead because of Manasseh's evil reign and the people's sin in Second Kings. The destruction would be complete. The people may have argued that they should not be held responsible for Manasseh's sin, but were continuing what Manasseh began. So if we follow corrupt leaders knowingly, we cannot excuse ourselves by blaming their bad examples. If you know the king is destructive, why would you want to follow a person like that?
You don't have a choice if you're in his kingdom.
Yeah, too.
No. Back then, I mean, do what the king said. He could.
Mm-hmm.
And they more than likely wanted to follow, you know, the king anyway. So they were doing what the king demanded.
They were corrupted people.
Well, they were following a wicked king.
Yeah.
Now, Hezekiah was king, but his son was wicked.
They were wicked,
His son was wicked and the people became wicked. So let's take a look at, that was Jeremiah. Let's take a look at Leviticus 21, 1 through 3,
okay.
And then Numbers 6. Leviticus 21, 1 through 3. Leviticus 21. Okay.
21:1-3 says, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. A priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean by touching the dead body of a relative. The only exceptions are his closet closest relatives, his mother or father, son or daughter, brother, or his virgin sister who depends on him because she has no husband. Amen. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. For these, he may make himself ritually unclean, but he must not contaminate himself with the dead who are only related to him by marriage and thus profane himself. So the priest can touch the dead, although I've heard, you know, that was an unclean act to do. But
right.
We see here that he can touch certain relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Certain relatives without contaminating himself. All right. So let's take, and still talking about the dead. Then we're going to take a look at Numbers 6 and 6, and then 9 and 6.
Okay.
Numbers 6 and 6.
Numbers. Is that good?
No, I mean, it's contradictory to what we just read.
Okay. Numbers 6:6, and let me see what it says here. It says, and they must not go near a dead body during the entire period of their vow to the Lord. That is
contradicting what we just read. So this is a Nazarite vow. So that's not necessarily a priest. Let me just take it from 1:6-1. God spoke to Moses, to the people of Israel, tell them, if any of you, man or woman, wants to make a special Nazarite vow, consecrating yourself totally to God, you must not drink any wine or beer, no intoxicating drink of any kind, not even the juice of grapes. In fact, you must not even eat grapes or raisins. For the duration of the consecration, nothing from the grapevine, not even the seeds, not even the skin, may be eaten. Also, for the duration of the consecration, you must not have your hair cut. Your long hair will be a continuing sign of holy separation to God. And also, for the duration of the consecration to God, you must not go near a corpse. So this is not talking about the priests. This is talking about the Nazarenes. And the Nazarenes is not necessarily a priest. So this, if it's the body of your father or mother, brother or sister, you must not ritually defile yourself because the sign of consecration to God is on your head. All right.
Okay.
For the Nazarene, the Nazarite vow.
Yes.
Mhm. So let's take a look and see the Nazarene. Was he? I know he wasn't a priest, but let me just Google that for a second.
Okay.
Okay, it doesn't want to act right. I'm going to, that's homework. Let's find out what a Nazarene is, okay?
All right, let me write that down. It's my paper.
You have to do the same thing.
Take
your time. I'm sorry.
Is a Nazarite.
Is it a priest or is it not a priest? We know that they are not to cut their hair. They're not to drink from the grapevine, don't touch your raisins and the grapes and the wine and the beer and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, that sounds like what God told Samson.
Right, he was a Nazarene. He was a Nazarite.
Yes.
And he was not a priest.
Nope. But
his
strength was in his hair. That God gave, his strength was in his hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so today is the 7th, and that's going to be homework for Tuesday night.
Homework. What is it?
Nazarene. Okay, so, and we could get that from Numbers, actually, to help us, as well as Google Numbers. Okay, let's go on with 9 and 9, also in Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
9 and 9.
Nine.
So the Nazarite could not touch the dead.
Right.
Unlike the priest.
9 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Lord's reply to Moses. Oh, that's it. It just says this was
what?
The verse 9 and 9, right? Numbers 9.
Right.
This was the Lord's reply to Moses. Verse 9. Very short.
Okay. Mine says, God spoke to Moses, tell the people of Israel, if one or another of you is ritually unclean because of a corpse, or you happen to be off on a long trip, mm-hmm. you may still celebrate God's Passover, but celebrate it on the 14th day of the second month at evening. Eat the lamb together with unraised bread and bitter herbs. Don't leave any of it until morning. Don't break any of it, its bones. Follow all the procedures. So this is the instructions for the traveling Israelites. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's ritually unclean for them to, again, touch a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got that. So let's continue. In the Old Testament, soul does not exist apart from the body. I think I read that already. Emphasizing again the unity of man's being rich and abundant. Though this use of in, nephesh, or soul for life is, we must not fail to observe that the in is never given the meaning of an indestructible core being in contradistinction to the physical life and even capable of living and cut off from that life. Next paragraph. Soul also is the center of various spiritual and emotional experiences of mankind. Mm-hmm. Talking about soul.
Yes.
These include sympathy, Job 30 and 25, despair, Psalm 43 and 5, bitterness, 2 Kings 4, 27, 2 Samuel 5, 8, love, Song of Solomon 1, 7, 3, 1 through 4, and grief, Jeremiah 13, 17. So we're going to get Job 30 and 25.
Okay. Job 30.
Job 30 and 25 says, did I not weep for those in trouble? Was I not deeply grieved for the needy?
That's it.
Okay. Haven't I wept for those who live a hard life, mm-hmm. been heartsick over the lot of the poor? But where did it get me? All right. So this is...
Yeah.
This is Job questioning, what did I do to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Job went through a lot,
yeah.
you know, losing his 10 children, losing his cattle and his donkeys and his money, you know, his wealth, and had boils all over his body. And so his thing is to God, what did I do to deserve this?
Well, you ain't got to do anything.
That's no.
Right. No.
And so now despair, Psalm 43 and 5, despair. I'm sure Job was in despair, 43 and 5.
Mm-hmm. 43 and 5. 43 and 5 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will raise him again, my Savior and my God.
Hmm.
I will praise him.
Praise him. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's it.
Beautiful.
So he asked his own question.
He asked the wrong question?
No, I said he answered his own question.
Okay, but I don't think this is Job speaking in Psalms.
Oh, this is
yeah, this is Psalms, so that's not not Job speaking. More than likely that might be David.
The sons of Korah, temple assistants.
Oh, the sons of Korah, okay.
Yeah, the temple assistants.
Well, that's 44. I see 44 is the sons of Korah. And, okay, 42 is the sum of sons of Korah.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stipulate what 43 is, so it may still be the sons of Korah.
Yeah,
like
it
you said before.
Is hope
oh, you all said?
discouragement. In the face of discouragement, our only hope is in God. And the author is the Sons of Korah, Temple Assistants, Psalms 42 and 43, are one psalm in many manuscripts. Also, 42 and 43 is one.
Okay. They just broke it up.
Oh, they broke it up. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's encouraging.
Yes. Well, they still answered their own question.
Mm-hmm. 2 Kings 4 and 27.
2 Kings 4 and 27. Okay, 2 Kings 4:27. Okay, 4. Great. I don't know why my shoulder is hurting me so bad, and I didn't fall on the shoulder.
Maybe you slept on it.
Probably. 2 Kings 4:27. Oh, 27. Way over there. Here we go. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her way, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is."
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pushing her way, what, to get to him?
Gehazi. Gehazi, I believe, was a prophet. And so she came to the man of God on the mountain, and she had lost her son. And so she had asked for a son. She got a son, and then her son died. And says, 2nd portion, can't you see she's in distress? But God hasn't let her be. God hasn't let her in on why. I'm completely in the dark. Then she spoke. Did I ask for a son, Master? Didn't I tell you? Don't tease me with false hopes. Okay. So she had a son, and I think she was like infertile. And she had one, and then for some reason he died.
Aww.
So this is talking about bitterness. Now we're going to go to hate in 2 Samuel 5 and 8. 2 Samuel 5 and 8. Talking about hate. 5 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Samuel. Okay, 2 Samuel. 5 and 8. 4, 5, 5, 9, 8. It says, on the day of the attack, David said to his troops, "I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacked them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel." That is the origin of the saying, "The blind and the lame may not enter the house." Okay, explain that.
So David said that he hated the blind and the lame.
Yes.
And the best way to attack the city was to come through the water system. It says, not to mention this so-called lame and blind bunch that David hates. In fact, he was so sick and tired of it, people coined the expression, "no lame and blind allowed palace. So,
oh my goodness.
David sounds kind of harsh.
Yes.
So this is hate. Talk about hatred. Right here. Okay, let's go to love. Song of Solomon. Go on, what you saying?
I said, my goodness, for a man that is after God's own heart, why would you that's kind of like...
He's the blind and the lame.
Yes.
So we got to read more of that so we get a better understanding. Just at the top, you know.
Okay. Song of
what's the better reason for God's man to say something like that?
Exactly. Song of Songs after Proverbs or before Proverbs?
After Ecclesiastes. After Proverbs, after Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
And so we got Song of Solomon 1 and 7. 1 and 7.
Says, poor David. Mm-hmm. Tell me, my love, where are you leading your flock today? Where will you rest your sheep at noon? For why should I wander like a prostitute among your friends and their flocks?
This is the woman. This is the woman talking to the man.
Yes.
She's like, why should I be left out? You know, I'm in love with you. You know, I love you so much. Tell me where you're tending your flock so I can come. Where you let them out, where you let them rest at noontime. Why should I be the one left out? Outside the orbit of your tender care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at 3:1-4.
Same book.
Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
3:1-4. 1-4. Okay, this is the same young woman still talking. She said, one night as I lay in bed, I yearned for my lover. I yearned for him, but he did not come. So I said to myself, I will get up and roam the city, searching in all its streets and squares. I will search for the one I love. So I searched everywhere, but did not find him. Oh, poor baby. The watchmen stopped me as they made their rounds, and I asked, have you seen the one I love? Then sacredly, or scarcely, had I left them, when I found my love, I caught and held him tightly, but I brought him to my mother's house, into my mother's bed, where I had been conceived.
Okay, so she found a man and took him home, and they lay in her mother's bed.
What's wrong with her bed? Why it had to be her mother's bed?
Hey, and so now that's love, and the last one is grief. Jeremiah 13 and 17.
Okay.
Jeremiah 13 and 17 after Isaiah. Jeremiah 13:17. 18.
13:17.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still refuse to listen, I will weep alone because of your pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be led away into exile.
Aww. That's grief.
Yep.
Say, if you people won't listen, I'll go off by myself and weep over you. Weep because of your stubborn arrogance. Bitter, bitter tears. Rivers of tears from my eyes because God's sheep will end up in exile. If the people won't listen.
Nope. Stubborn people.
Won't listen.
much change. They stubborn today too.
Not much, right? Not much of a change.
Not
so
much.
I think we're gonna stop right here.
Okay.
Here we got like 10 minutes though.
Yes. Well, now
but we got too many.
We got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah, too many scriptures to really. I'll read it and we'll go over
the scriptures
another time, God willing.
Okay.
So, cement reveals similarities and differences in its use of the word soul, psyche. It denotes the whole individual person, Acts 2:41, 27, 37 in the King James Version. But it can refer to the immaterial part of man only, Matthew 10:28. It also designates people in the immediate state between death and the resurrection of the body, Revelation 6:9. Soul seems to be a principal focus of redemption, though, of course, the physical body also experiences the effects of redemption. So the physical body also experiences the effects of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Notice passages like Hebrews 10:39, 13:17, James 1:20. So what is redemption?
Redemption, I wrote that down. Redemption. Okay. It's to, I forgot.
Okay, that's when God sent his son for our sins on the cross to redeem our souls, to save our souls, basically.
Yes.
Right? So we have been redeemed.
Right.
We have been redeemed. So
let me put a circle there. It's to be redeemed.
We can look up that one also, redemption for homework.
Okay.
Along with the Nazarene. Also redemption. Okay.
Okay.
So we got two words to look up.
Amen.
And so I think we almost finished with this chapter, actually. But I'm going to come back over it, God willing, and do the scriptures. No, we're not. No, we're not. But anyway, to sum up, soul can mean, this is the last part, soul can mean the whole person alive or after death. It can designate the immaterial part of a person with its many feelings and emotions. And it is an important focus of spiritual redemption and growth. Amen. So next week we're going to look at God willing spirit. And we stopped on page 225 at the New Testament, talking about similarities with the soul.
Right, because we're going over the scriptures. Amen.
Okay.
Beautiful lesson tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. God be the glory.
I even knew some of the answers.
Yes, you did.
Praise God.
Bless your life. Bless your heart.
When they get to certain things, you know, like when they get into that theology stuff, but this is,
well, that's all talking about God now. Theology stuff. Give us more insight about God.
It's all about God, amen.
It's all about Him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting, you know, more enlightened, so that's beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
So I need you to take us out in prayer when you're ready.
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson this evening. Thank you for all that we have learned. Thank you for bringing to our remembrance everything that you wanted us to see, hear, and think about, and to digest your word, Lord God. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for all of those who showed up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear tonight on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever they listen to Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And thank you, Lord God, for touching and healing our sister Barbara Perkins, who fell in her house over the weekend, and Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen her. We are so grateful that she didn't break anything, but she was in a casket. So we ask that we know that you are a healer and that you will heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And we thank
God.
Her son being there and picked up the phone when she called. Lord God, you know that your people who live alone, that we have to have some kind of device or something that our loved ones would know when we're in trouble. So, Lord God, I ask that you continue to touch each and every one of us and strengthen us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We thank you for Apostle Mother Wiggins, for our pastor, Apostle Audie Wiggins, First Lady, for the fivefold ministers, Lord God. We ask that you touch Pastor Kathy in a special way and heal her mouth, Lord God, that she will be back to preach your word the way that you would have her to preach it, Lord God. And we thank you for everything, for your son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins. We ask that we take time to reflect on this Lenten season and think about you and you alone, Lord God. And we just thank you and give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Forgive us for our sins, and let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. Bless those who need a blessing. Touch those who need a touch, Lord God. And heal those who need a healing. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for that prayer.
Thank you.
Continue healing with you.
Amen.
God bless you. I enjoyed it. I will not be with you tomorrow. My Wednesday thing starts up again. So
I'm going to miss you,
I'll be with you in spirit, and hopefully I'll catch up. So
amen.
Have a great time in the Lord, okay?
You too.
Love you, hugs and kisses, and stay safe. Yeah, maybe God will come to the concert next time. I don't know when or if, but.
Well, whenever it is, as long as we can get to it, we'll be there.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You stay safe, okay?
I will. You do the same. Love you.
How's Chico?
Chico is very quiet, laying on the bed, on the floor, sleeping. You know, he says early part of the day is his sleeping time, and nighttime is when he wants to play.
He wants to get frisky. Okay.
Yeah, he's doing okay. Thank you for asking.
That's good. I'm glad. Love you.
Love you, too.
And speak with you soon, God willing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Shalom. And on that note,